It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, and I know we have Cynthia on the line, and hopefully we have Janet there, too. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, we're all here and all accounted for.
Yeah.
All right, on the front page of the Lakeville Journal this week, Bob Laux, you've got great pictures of the VFW Honor Guard and also out of Falls Village as well, Memorial Day 2021.
My honor, as I have done in recent years, to travel with the Honor Guard from Couch Pipe of VFW in North Canaan as we went on the rounds of, they went on, I think, 21 stops in North Canaan and Falls Village, lots of little cemeteries scattered around, and really very moving. And, you know, at every single stop, there's the invocation that is read, there's taps that is played, there's the three-gun salute, and they never flag or rush. They're just, at every stop, they give it so much care and respect.
They do the same. They do the same thing out of the militant VFW as well. They go to all the cemeteries, and they start at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I'm pretty sure they do that at the Couch Pipe post as well. It starts. It starts early in the morning, and they go out and they do that. But it's nice to see, you know, the big turnout that was in Sharon, and they had to change the parade to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It was just nice to see the people getting out again.
Yeah, and, you know, going to the stops at the Honor Guard from Couch Pipe and Makes is at Gear at the Rehabilitation and at Care Village. And at all the other stops, you know, it was just us in the cemetery pretty much, except at the Haskin Cemetery, which for some reason in Falls Village attracts a big crowd. But it's meaningful to people. They really come out and they really appreciate it, and it means something to them. So you definitely feel like it's worth the effort that they've made.
All right, now, interesting story, because I did an interview with Caleb, one of the students at the center of this film that was made at Salisbury School, and your story, the history of the Caesars, a notable black family in Sharon. But what's great about this story and what's great about what Salisbury, the students at Salisbury School did, is open up a whole background of something that probably most people in our area don't even realize. And I just think this is one of those instances where out of the mouths of babes, even though they're not babes, they're adults. It really...
Young men at Salisbury School. But, you know, now that we have all these new people moving to the area, one question that they often ask is, you know, gosh, there's not really a lot of diversity here. And in fact, there is quite a bit of diversity, but it, you know, it's so diverse that there's a lot of different, you know, a little bit of everything. But there has been a long history of black families in the Northwest Corner, but there's not a lot of them. And, of course, it's been very difficult for those families, you know, to be sort of part of the community, but also, you know, slightly other. And a very interesting project that's been going on at Salisbury School, not just with this, but with other projects led by Peter McCarron, and this one's led by Rona McCriskey, where the students kind of dug into the history of the Northwest Corner and really looked at the history of black families here. And they looked at the history of the Caesar family from Sharon and Catherine Overton, who is a descendant of the family, is a genealogist, so they had a great resource in her. One of the students had proposed a film on her and was slightly surprised, as Patrick Sullivan reports, when they said, yes, go ahead and make that movie. So he did, and it was screened, and pretty great.
You know, it's just so interesting. When I spoke with Roland, he said something which was said to me by Andrew Casale in high school, and also Vice Principal Mr. Alto. I still call him Mr. Alto. But what they said was, the perfect job for a teacher is to present something to a class and then get out of the way and let students learn. And that's exactly what this is a case history of. It. And when I finished the interview at the beginning of the week, I went and I watched the movie, and I learned some. And I'm older than dirt around here, and I learned something that I never knew about. So it's a great story. So people should make sure they read the story, and then after they read the story, go find the movie. It's very easy to find. Another story on the front page by Lila Hawkins, something that we'll be talking about to the day we die, creating a path towards more housing.
Oh my gosh, is that true or not? So important around here. And Cornwall really is so progressive in so many ways, and I'd say that affordable housing is another way in which they're really leading the pack, and thoughtfully gathering and discussing in a nice, peaceful way, and you're not seeing the kind of the acrimonious disagreement that you're seeing, sadly, in Salisbury and Falls Village right now. So they've, you know, Cornwall has that beautiful Bonnie Brook senior housing so intelligently placed right in the middle of town. People can walk. Cornwall's not a great walking town, but you can walk to the Cornwall store next door. You can walk to what used to be the fishing store that's up for sale now. But there's a lot of things you can get to from that spot, and a really beautifully built building. So we'll look forward to seeing what they do in terms of affordable housing throughout town.
All right. And a story that surprises me. I'm a big supporter of railroads, and I think railroads need expansion. While there's tracks, they should bring them back. But darn it, Lila Hawken in Cornwall, the spraying continues and still killing trees. I don't know how this happens year after year when basically the railroad has to understand that these people, it's not a hard thing for them to comply with.
It must be harder than we think, because it's not only been something that the town has requested year after year, but they've also gone to the state legislature, and that was one of Brian Oler's first things that he did when he was in office, was to go with Libby Mitchell, who is such a powerhouse in Cornwall in such a quiet way, and just said, you know, you're killing trees all along the railroad tracks. It's the spraying. It's definitively the spraying. There's no question that it's something else. And there's actually legislation put in place where they have to check it, and they're not allowed to do it, and they're not allowed to be killing the trees, and yet every year it continues. So it's super aggravating for the town of Cornwall. And, of course, it leaves them with all these dead trees on the side of the railroad track, which is unsightly but also dangerous. If those trees fall on the track, that's going to be a big problem. So we'll hope that this gets resolved.
Yep. Nice picture of the Housatonic Agad open house.
Yeah, Spencer Marco with Holly Liebrock. And really a return to life. One of the things that I look forward to every year is the Agad open house. It's really an amazing opportunity to see what the students are doing at the high school. It's you often have kids walking their ponies around in the green. You have rabbits. You have milkshakes, all sorts of interesting things going on. Didn't look like maybe that was going to happen this year, but there we are. We're back in school and a nice open house.
Two local stories which are important and people should make sure they read, whether it's out of the paper or whether they're online. And that is, I like what they did in Sharon when the speeding cars topic came up for the road that goes by the school. Basically, Brent Colley and the Board of Selectmen said, well, you know, this isn't just a problem there. It's a town-wide problem, and we should probably get people in the town together for a meeting and see a way we can address this, because it's not just a problem on one road. It's a problem on all roads, and I think it's a problem in almost all the towns.
I think it must be a problem all over America. It's a classic problem, too, of how do you legislate something that seems so logical? It's like when there was the blight issue in Sharon Valley. Obviously, there was a blight problem there. There were a couple of properties that were really in bad shape. People on the road were upset about it, and the only way to legislate it was to create a law that would have been really onerous to follow up and put in punishment. Sorry, I'm losing my words this morning. But so that's been an ongoing conversation. But in terms of speeding in all the different towns, it's not only tricky because people are often just zipping through on their way to someplace who don't live there, but often people who live on these roads and who are very bothered by other people speeding, when they actually do the speed alert, it turns out that it's often the people who are most upset about speeding who are speeding. So the road that runs by Sharon Center School is sort of a rural minor collector in the sense that people often use it as a shortcut between Main Street in town and Route 4. And you have the school there, so there's a lot of potential danger there. But do they want to have speed bumps on that road, or do they want to have speed monitoring systems? Do they want to have the police out there? It's a tricky question, and as Brent Colley said, there are a lot of roads in Sharon and in all the towns where this is an issue. All we can do is say to people, please slow down.
Yep. There's going to be an assistant principal at Salisbury Central School.
This is very unusual, especially at our schools, which are fairly small. Not really sure whether this will continue or whether it will become a trend. And anybody who knows Lou Timmelin knows that there's always been a lot of conversation about the assistant superintendent for Region 1, and is there really a need for an assistant for these small schools? Stephanie Major at Salisbury Central feels that it is essential. The board agreed with her, and they will be hiring an assistant principal.
All right. You've got a nice little story, a sports story on the wet weather, but the Trans Am weekend went on.
Right, and I don't know why we let it slip through on the headline that says Trans Ams. We know it's Trans Am. But we'll have a fuller report on what the opening weekend was like at Lime Rock Park. It's a big year in the sense that, of course, we're open again, but also there's three new owners at the track, and the weather was horrible, as it sometimes is. So we have a report coming in for the June 10th issue on how it went.
All right, a story by Lila Honkin. Once again, this time, budget in Cornwall, unanimous approval.
Right, and continuing to move quietly and quickly through the budget season, Zoom makes it possible for a lot of people to attend these meetings or at least to see them. But most towns are trying to have their meetings in public, and Cornwall has now passed its budget.
A couple of stories that are interesting. I had a meeting with Lisa Carter, and we're going to be involved in helping bring out information about middle school sports and other things that don't necessarily have to come out at a lengthy Board of Education meeting. But you've got two stories here dealing with sports. One, the combined middle school sports will begin this fall, barring any more pandemics or anything like that. And then the other story, baseball by region, not by town.
Right. Hunter Lyle, very interested in baseball and sports in general, wrote about, and you should actually read it, it's a very detailed explanation of what the sports activity opportunities are for students this summer. There's a lot of summer sports that are normally going on around here that are not going on right now. For instance, there's, my understanding is that there's not really basketball going on. I think there is some soccer going on. There are some classes, there's some lessons, there seems to be some swimming going on. But a good rundown by Hunter on what is available for baseball. And then the middle school sports is actually a really big deal and was kind of hotly contested when it came out. The town of Kent said they did not want to participate. I think it was Falls Village that said that they also don't want to participate. But it looks like it is going ahead. It's much more complex, but it's much more efficient. Read the details in Patrick's story.
All right. I want to go to the opinion and editorial pages. Right now, and we'll start off with the editorial, A Tribute to a True Local Hero.
That's right. This is Ed Kirby, who passed away recently and who had the ball field at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, also recently named for him. So well-deserved and so evocative of a life very well-lived. And, you know, we speak about Ed Kirby's generation and say, oh, you know, they were all one of a kind, but he really was one of a kind, and so we pay tribute to him and give, you know, so much gratitude for having people like this in our community.
Well, the whole thing about people like Ed Kirby and other people like John Harney, the icons in our area that we lose, they're not only involved in their local business or their local passion, but they're involved because the community is their local passion, and it doesn't matter whether Democrat, Republican, Independent, red, white, blue, black, whatever, they really care about the area, and over a period of time, like 40 or 50 or 60 years, they do things that are absolutely amazing, and they basically become almost irreplaceable citizens of our community.
Oh, I'd say Ed Kirby is certainly irreplaceable, and of course his interests were so wide, and you know, he knew so much about the West and geology, and the list goes on and on. It's just amazing. And boy, one thing we can be sure of is he enjoyed life, and he did that right up until the end of his life. But what we're asking is that we hope more people will share memories of him if they feel so inclined by sending a letter in. We did have remembrances of Ed, of course, but we welcome more thoughts because, you know, the more we think about lives like Ed Kirby's, the better I feel as if we can move forward and do something better with our own lives.
Well, speaking about your letters, they go everything from red flag legislation, turning blind eyes to hidden war, and also a student at Salisbury School, small businesses need help and support. I mean, and if you look at all these letters, they're well thought out.
Oh, they are well thought out, and this is a nice thing to see, is that we have two students from Salisbury School who thought carefully and did research about what they're writing about. Steve Condis, who wrote about red flag legislation, spoke to a gun owner in Salisbury to get the gun owner's side of what might be good or bad about this law, and really gives all sides and carefully thinks it out. You're right. And for Kyle Aldridge thinking about small businesses in this area, that's not so easy for a high school student to do, but he has really thought carefully, and we're glad to have them fill up our page.
You know, I was speaking with Peter Steiner yesterday about his upcoming book get-together at the Hotchkiss Library, and I mentioned to him again, I said, Peter, my Thursdays or Wednesday evenings would never be the same. One of the first things I turn to is your comic, and the next thing is the Looking Back feature, but I just think he is an absolute gem and has become just such an integral part of your editorial pages.
You know, I couldn't agree more. There are some people who have the opposite approach. They might look at him first, but it really grates on their nerves. And so that's what a political cartoonist does, though, and he really is a master. So I feel so fortunate to have him doing this for us, just out of the goodness of his heart and having some fun with it. And so we really appreciate what he does and feel so glad that we have built up a bank of cartoons that he has done every single week. It's incredible.
Yeah, they're there. They're designed to make you think whether you agree with them or not.
That's right.
Then you also have the articles on the University of Connecticut. Out of nowhere, I see this article on beat poets.
Yes. Well, you know, they did exist, and Lonnie Carter remembers them. And so he tells us quite a bit about them, and it's fascinating. You know, we need a little break every now and again from the political side, and we're glad that Lonnie does that for us. Don't miss Dick Ollis's, though, if you like to think about where your tax dollars go in Connecticut, because the headline says it all, University of Connecticut makes the same money mistake twice. And it's quite a bit of money and really the kind of mistake that if a regular business did it, you know, not a university, they would have a price to pay for it.
All right. Now, Cynthia, in your compass, we start off with Art Patrick Sullivan visiting galleries, chatting with an artist on a Sunday afternoon.
The joy of a serendipitous visit to an art gallery, something that we lost last year, and appreciate even more. Furnace Art on Paper in Falls Village, a charming little gallery in what used to be the town hall. A lot of theater venues are not certain what the summer is going to bring in terms of COVID-19. There are still some infections in our area right now. So because they have to plan ahead, many of them are continuing with COVID precautions. So Aston Magna will remain virtual this summer. If anybody hasn't check that program out yet, this might be a good year to do it. It's their mission is to recreate period music, to educate the public about the history of that time, the instruments of that time, and to use historic instruments. We've got coming up this weekend a very interesting talk by Jane Fleischman, who's hilarious, talking about it's Pride Month, of course, talking about LGBTQ elders on sex activism and aging, her new book, The Stonewall Generation. But generally, she is a sex educator who specializes in sex after midlife. So she should be very interesting. That's going to be in the tent outside the Falls Village Library. This is Connecticut Trails Weekend. There's not a ton of hikes going on, but there's a couple. There's the Sharon Land Trust actually is introducing two new trails and dedicating the new Good Body Preserve. We have jazz coming up at Hudson Hall, which is so beautiful. That's, again, this weekend, the Marcus Strickland Quartet, June 5th and 6th. If you're seeing a lot of signs saying tag sale, and you're new to the area and don't know what is a tag sale, we explain it, and we have a new puzzle, beautiful watercolor by Tom Goldenberg. We hope that people will buy it. It supports the paper, but also Tom is a wonderful person and generously donated this artwork to us, and we'd love to sell some. He does not get any portion of the proceeds. He's given all the proceeds to us. The remaining funds go to the puzzle company.
A couple of comments on your story about tag sales. People throughout the region have been waiting over a year to reopen their tag sales and clear out some of the stuff they want to get rid of and make a little bit of money. I've spoken to probably 5 or 10 different people that really count on this every summer to clean out what's accumulated in their house and also make a little money to get by. So that's an interesting story. And the Connecticut Trails, you mentioned the Sharon Land Trust. They've come up with signs now, and I think they're doing a great job. And you can comment on this, Cynthia, on the fact that I think people think land trusts take away land from communities to protect it. They don't do that. They have land trust and do nature trails. They conserve. They make sure. They do so much more than
bird walks. Yeah. They do educational and history walks. We actually have an entire issue that we dedicated to the land trust. So it was this year's Towns and Villages. It's still out and about. You can find it at lots of shops and public spaces in town, and it really does explain the importance of conservation and how we all benefit from it and the many opportunities that are available. As you said, there's bird walks, there's history walks, there's nature walks. Often walks and activities are offered as part of Trails Weekend, but just keep an eye out on websites for the land trust in your town, and there will definitely be activities through the summer.
All right. Well, the Lakeville Journal is available, of course, in print. You can pick it up at various locations throughout our area. You can get it mailed to your house, or you can get it online. And if I hear one more time when I post a story that just has a few from the Lakeville Journal, that just has a few of the headlines and a few words, and I put the link to it, people don't want to pay. Folks, if you want to have local news, you just can't keep thinking you can get it for free.
Right, and it's really not very expensive, is it?
No,
it's not. And there's a lot in it each week that you will find nowhere else. I'd love to bring up that we don't want people to miss our special Memorial Day page this week, because we had people in every one of the six Region 1 towns, Salisbury, Sharon, Falls Village, Cornwall, North Canaan, and Kent. Beautiful photos of veterans and the ceremonies that took place. So don't miss that. And don't miss the story on Bob Laux and the incident of 1966. We didn't talk about it in depth, but, boy, it's fascinating.
And also it was nice to see a picture of Dave Beresdorfer leading that small service in Salisbury, because the Salisbury Memorial Day celebration is truly one of the spectacular ones always in our area, and it was nice to see that they managed to put together that and see the picture of Dave Beresdorfer there.
Yeah, it's hard after a year of COVID for these folks to pull together this, not only the ceremonies but the parades for the towns who did, and anything that happened, it was wonderful to see the commemoration. So thanks to all of them.
All right. Once again, that is your Lakeville Journal and also Millerton News, both available at tricornernews.com. And also, like I said, you can get it mailed to your house or you can go out and pick it up. Guys, we'll speak to you again next week.
Thank you so much.
Take care. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And once again, you can find them at tricornernews.com.